Hello, this is Norma Sheehan from the Heal Your Hole podcast, asking you to heal my hole for a change, the hole in my pocket. It's just a small one-off payment, no subscriptions, takes 30 seconds to do apparently. So you need to follow the support this show link in the show description. And every payment increases my healing power, so I can continue to tend to your lazy holes, hairy holes, needy holes, itchy holes, money holes, smelly holes, arseholes.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to episode number 21 of the Heal Your Hole podcast with myself, Norma Sheehan, where we will look at all the various holes in your life, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, financial, comical, sexual, and we give them all a good seeing to. Last week we spoke to Susan O'Driscoll, Susan Bradley, she's now known as, and we had a great laugh about assholes. And it wasn't at all about the anus at all. It was just about various people you meet in life who are assholes. And this week I'm doing birth holes, and I'm going to keep it clean again because nobody needs to hear about my fangita. So I'm going to start with an interview which I did with a fantastic woman. She is my late mother's cousin, and I know some of you feckers mightn't make it to the end of the podcast sometimes, so I'm going to put this first because it's so gorgeous, and it'll just give a flavour of all, no, not a flavour of birth holes, it'll describe all the different birth holes over the last number of decades, because she worked in nursing and worked as a midwife and various things over many decades. So have a listen. So I'm here with my nutter of a relative. She is my mum's cousin, as I was saying. No better woman to talk to about birth holes. So how many years did you work in the nursing profession, Kay?
Well, I suppose I started training way, way, way back. And then I did, that was general training, and then I did midwifery. And
Midwifery.
I'm a midwife.
Yeah.
And then I did a little bit of oncology and took off to America for a while, and then came back and spent 40 years locally.
Right.
Until I retired.
When you came back, was it mainly midwifery?
No, it was a general hospital that I was working in. But having had midwifery, I was the midwife on call. So I did ambulance work. And if a lady arrived in, you know, that needed an ambulance to take her to a maternity hospital, if I was on duty, I was the one that went with her.
And do you have any funny stories from back in the day, like when you started off nursing?
Well, I suppose we were very naive in those days, starting off young after coming from boarding school. There was one night where there was an assignment to give suppositories to a particular gentleman, and a colleague of mine was on the ward, and she was very frustrated about it all, but she wasn't really sure about these suppositories, where they should go. And anyway, she ended up putting one in each ear for the gentleman in question. So, then she checked because she found that they weren't dissolving. So we came to the rescue. We had a little confab and we all agreed that it was the wrong hole. It wasn't the ears. It was meant to be.
We could do a whole separate episode on suppository holes. Oh my God. So she stuck two gooey suppositories into his ears.
One into each ear. Yeah, yeah. You know, they were either glycerine or something. They dissolve, you see. That's what suppositories do when they go into the right place.
And how was she trained? Was she thick?
Well, you see, we only had 6 weeks of what they call block. And then we were straight onto the wards. We were very, very naive. But on night duty, you were kind of to your own devices, you know. Well, there was a lot expected of us on night duty because we were, you know, we had to get on with it. Like, you
and
were
did,
on your own
you
on
know
the ward.
The way it's all paperwork nowadays. Would that have gone down in paperwork? Like, you know,
well, not
reports?
Really. No. We had to write a report.
Report.
And in a book. And then the book, in some wards, the senior would come on in the morning. Usually it was a nun, maybe. And they would take the book. And you got very good at reading upside down because you had to remember what you wrote about your 28 patients the night before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, there was another case of a lovely colleague of mine. She was a girl from Kerry. She was absolutely gorgeous. And she, sort of used to sometimes stand, if you like. She would be on the corridor. And when the particular sister would come along, she'd say, "Have you nothing to do? What are you doing standing there?" And she'd say, "No, sister. Yes, sister." She'd say, "Get in there and clean the men's teeth." And she's delighted with the job.
So oh,
she
stop went it.
In.
You go in
the
and
false clean. Teeth.
Oh, because they all had false teeth.
Well, not all, but some had. So yeah. She collected, got a basin.
Yeah.
She went up and down the ward, collected anybody that had teeth, put them all in, went out to the sluice room, scrubbed them all, had them all shining, delighted with herself, and then went back in and suddenly realised she didn't know whose were who. So she had to say, before the nun came back, she was, "Will you try these? Please, come on, try this."
Oh, my
so
gosh.
Eventually, the men were great. The patients were great.
How did she get the right teeth back to the right
place?
Well,
with a lot of difficulty, but eventually.
Oh, my God. And you got them all back before the bossy bitch came back?
Oh, she had to. It was a case of that or, you know, your...
So there was no COVID back then? It was just stick it in your gob and stick it into the next gob? They weren't worrying about passing on
COVID-19? No, but they were all clean now. They were all sterilised.
Okay. So back to the midwifery.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is birth holds. While we're on mad stories, any other mad stories from birth holes?
Birth holes. Well, again, when we started our midwifery, we were qualified now at this stage as general nurse, so we thought we knew it all.
So you knew what the various holes were for. You aren't sticking suppositories into.
Well, we had come a long way at this
come
stage.
A long way.
But we were back to student days because we were now a student midwife, right?
Okay.
So you had to start from the beginning again, which was kind of good training, I suppose, really. But I'll always remember I was on prenatal, which is, you know, before birth.
Yeah.
And we had a wonderful lady who was our sister there. And she had good training, but she didn't sort of suffer fools too easily.
Right.
Anyway, we had a lady, and on one occasion I remember taking this lady in the lift up to the labour ward. She was in strong labour, and a colleague of mine was at the other end of the trolley, and the lady at the lifted her head and she looked up at the other nurse and she just said, "Nurse, I'm terrified." And my friend said, "You'll be fine. You'll be fine now. You'll have your baby before long." Yeah. She said, no, it's not that." She said, I don't know where the baby is going to come out." And I said, my friend was totally...
Do you mean like C-section or natural?
Natural. She was going for a natural
birth.
She was in strong labour. She was probably a few centimetres dilated.
So she wasn't asking
stage.
You whether it was going to be a C-section or...
No, she was asking where the baby would come out. And my friend was absolutely flabbergasted and she couldn't really hack this at all. So she looked at the lady and she said, "What?" She said, "You're going to have your baby." She said, "Well, it's going to come out exactly the same way as it went in." I don't think the poor lady was any the wiser, but we were with her in the labour ward and
was she a bit simple or was it just very...
She just didn't know that was how it was in those days.
God.
Really. She was only, you know, like there were others the same.
What age was she?
They used to
about?
Think she came out belly button.
Came out the belly button.
Yeah, yeah. In some cases, you know, a lack of really information knowledge and...
Oh, that's just hilarious.
It was sad, really, in one way, but it was funny at the time. We were very young, you know, as you can imagine.
And how would you compare that now to the women nowadays who know like too much about birth holes and they're crying because it doesn't come out the right hole? They're going, "Oh, this wasn't how I planned and expected," and they get all this. They get down if it's not natural, you know. If there's a change of plan on the day,
yeah.
Women feel like failures.
Well, babies come when they're ready, and babies come the best way, and with all the great care that there is in maternity now. Obviously, you have to be, totally confident in your obstetrician or whoever is delivering the baby, and it is mainly nurses that deliver, midwives that deliver. I mean, now you can do midwifery without doing general training, you know, you can just train as a midwife.
Yeah.
But it's because it's not an illness.
Yeah.
You know, it's quite natural, quite normal to
have
babies. No, we were all delivered by the Jubilee nurse at home. That's the Jubilee nurse. She was the midwife who was kind of in the community and delivered half of every town. You know,
wow.
She used to cycle on her bike and go and
what
just arrive.
Called?
The midwife, the Jubilee nurse.
And did you deliver yours at home with the Jubilee?
No, I went back to my place of training to have mine.
Was that some crack?
And that was some crack. Yeah, it was. I remember sitting, lying on the bed. I was brought in to be induced on my second baby and set up with four women sitting on my bed, on my legs, across the main, one woman expecting twins. We were watching The Deer Hunter until something like 2 o'clock in the morning because there was a television in the little room I was in.
Oh my gosh.
And I had my, both of them au naturel. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Yeah. I never managed to go naturel, but I tried.
Yeah.
I don't think there's not as much patience nowadays for waiting for the baby to come out natural, I think.
Well, I don't know. You know, we're gone back here where I live now to, there's a particular nurse here doing home births again.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we used to do home births.
Was that the Jubilee woman?
No. Well, oh. The same sort of thing, but she's a midwife who will deliver at home if you decide to have your baby at home.
Yeah. And what do you make of the water thing? So having, lying in a bath of water. Yeah.
Well, that's the birthing. They use that in the hospitals.
Okay.
For some people.
Really?
Yeah, they do, yeah. The birthing pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to help. Well, I mean, babies are swimming in amniotic fluid inside at the moment.
It'll help it. If you're in the water, it might help
it. Works for some.
Get out of that hole.
Yeah.
Right.
But going back to the Jubilee nurse, when I was in midwifery, we had to have like 38 deliveries in the hospital and you had to have 3 to 5 deliveries in the district. So we used to get, I remember getting a call at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
To say, come on, we're heading to your delivery. So I was the junior with the senior and we drove in a Ford Anglia on a January morning, skidded all the way out to Ballymun Towers. And the lifts weren't working in the Porrick Pierce Tower. So we had to climb up to the 8th floor and arrive up. And the lady was there to her third baby with her husband. And the doctor had forgotten to leave the chart out, so we didn't have the details that we needed. So the senior lady left me to go after the doctor 3 o'clock in the morning to get the chart because she had to have it. And I was left peppering in case the woman would, you know, deliver her baby while my senior was gone. Here was I on my own. You know, I had had deliveries in the hospital, but always with people. I was still a student nurse. But anyway, she arrived back in time and we had... The baby was delivered. It was a baby boy after two girls. And the husband worked for Hales Cakes. He was over the moon. So he went and he came back with... he had given us tea and Hales Cakes before that. But he arrived back anyway with these little shot glasses. And in it, he said, have that. We have to celebrate. Poutine.
Oh, my God.
That was my introduction to poutine.
So you had your couple of glasses of poutine
No, I didn't actually like it.
So back in the day, like, people were given alcohol probably to chill them out during delivery. I'd say you were given a shot of something for the pain.
Oh, yeah. In the ambulance, we always had a little bottle of little dropper and whiskey to revive in case you had a baby that needed reviving.
Oh, hang on. You put the whiskey into the baby. Oh, that's hilarious. Because
I never had to do it, okay. No, but it was in the little maternity bag.
I remember putting brandy or whiskey on my younger sister's teeth when she was teething to numb the gums.
Yeah.
That was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Before we had all these pharmaceutical, cuticle...
Well, this is it. These were the natural, the au naturels again.
Yeah. Have you any other funny, I was going to say funny fanny stories, funny birth hold stories?
On my way to Dublin, I've had a couple of deliveries in the ambulance heading to the maternity hospital. And you just get on with it, don't you? You just have to. But one was a breech birth. So that was a bit of a surprise.
So do you have to snip a bit of episiotomy, is that what it's called? Where you snip
no,
a bit of
thankfully I didn't have to do that. The baby was about 6 pounds, so it was okay, it worked.
Yeah. I've never had me...
It's where the bottom comes first in a breech.
Is it?
But what you're talking about is episiotomy. That happens sometimes when maybe you have a big baby and the woman, you know the way they'll say push? In the labour ward, we had a nurse say, push, Mrs. Push. Come on, Mrs. Push.
And you
push.
Might start to tear.
And then you say, stop pushing now.
Okay.
And if they continue to push, in some cases, they tear what's known as the perineum, which is the little...
Perineum.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Do you remember that? We used to
call that the bars, the partition between the baz and the arse.
That's it.
Bars.
And you have to, rather than tear, you control the head when it is being born.
Okay.
But sometimes you have to snip.
And you tell people to massage that area before delivery, because that's a new thing now. They tell you to go and buy almond oil and massage your perineum. bars?
Yeah, there was a massage, but the almond oil was a lot of people used to use this cocktail to bring on labour. They thought it worked.
Like a margarita or something?
No. It was castor oil. Okay. And oil and tea, and they used to make up a cocktail and have it, and it was supposed
drink
to induce labour. Drink it, yeah.
Oh, like a mad curry, basically. Like,
well, I've never had a mad curry.
It would give you the runs and evacuate your. It would give you the runs. As if there was a lion chasing you, so you'd evacuate. Because I think most people in delivery evacuate their back passage anyway.
Well,
to make room.
In those days, you were given the famous suppositories or a little microlaxant.
Not into your ear.
You were given those initially, if you like, when you went in to clear the, make sure that didn't happen. But yes, it can happen.
So the back area is clear, so you have room to get stuff out the other hole. That's what you should have explained to that poor woman on the trolley.
Exactly.
It was too late for that.
Yeah, too late.
What was it?
Ready to deliver.
What was it she said again? It's going to...
Where's the baby going to come?
And what was the answer?
It's going to come exactly the same way as it went in.
Brilliant. All right. And on that note, Kate, thank you very much for...
Thank you, Norma.
...coming on Birth Hold. Thank you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thank you very much, Kay Delaney, for that lovely interview. She's an utter relative of mine, and I definitely got a few genes from her. I have the utmost respect for anyone who works in the delivering babies profession, because I just about survived my own deliveries. I just think you're amazing people, and I know it's a miracle and all that, but no, I remember getting a section with the twins, and because they were high risk, and I could see a reflection in the light, the silver light in the roof, of them chopping into my sunroof. And I just grabbed Scott and I was like, just look into my eyes, just talk to me, just keep talking to me. Because I was, I suppose I might have passed out if I could see them poking around inside me, because I couldn't feel it. And actually afterwards, I think it was the second time around, you go into this recovery room after a C-section and they don't let you go back to your baby until you can feel from the waist down, until the spinal block is worn off. And I remember being so tired with Jodie, my youngest, after 5 days of contractions and then an emergency C-section, that I pretended I couldn't feel my legs for hours and hours and hours so I wouldn't have to go back to deal with the baby. I was that tired. That's really bad. I left Scott with a screaming, starving child and pretended I couldn't feel my legs in the recovery area. And for those who have pushed one out naturally, just wow, because it is apparently the same as getting a grape through the eye of a needle. So well done to you guys, and I hope everything is tightened up and everything's intact. Good luck. So I was wandering around yesterday looking for pregnant women. I wanted to ask a few of them how they're feeling at the moment with COVID and trying to, deliver a baby during this time. But I was too afraid to approach anyone, because twice in life I have asked someone, when is the baby due? And it wasn't. Okay, so that's the worst thing. I don't know if there's anything worse you could say to anyone in life. Now, in fairness, one of the women had recently delivered one, so she wasn't so bad. But the other one, no children, just a tummy. So I decided, just to play it safe, I'd go into the National Maternity Hospital in Dublin. So I headed in there this morning to stalk a few women who definitely looked pregnant, because I didn't want to risk it. And there was a few men there too, to be honest. Very excited men. So here are the little chats I had in Holles Street, which actually, if you click on predictive texting for the name of Hollis Street, it comes up as Holes Street. I don't know if there's something in that.
Hi, I'm here outside the National Maternity Hospital where I had my own three children, and I've just met Jodie and she's due to have her baby in a couple of days or weeks. How are you feeling, Jodie?
Good, nervous.
Is this your last appointment probably? Or?
No, I'll have one every week now for the next 3 weeks.
Okay, and are you hoping, is it your first?
It is my first, yeah.
Okay, so you don't mind what way it comes out once it comes out some way?
No. Okay. Once it comes out.
You're not one of these people with loads of expectations.
No,
of
no plans. Okay. It is what it is.
And is this your partner?
It is, yeah.
Right. And are you going to sit in, do you think? Or are you allowed to sit in anymore?
Hopefully I'm allowed to sit in. I heard you're only allowed in for a couple of minutes right on the minute when the baby's being born, but hopefully I'll be allowed in for a
And long. Are you squeamish?
No, I'm not squeamish, no.
Right. Well, my own husband went very pale. They nearly removed him, but he's naturally pale anyway. But you're up for it.
Yeah, I'm well up for being in there as support.
Okay, well, thank you so much for taking my questions. Best of luck.
Thank you.
I'm outside the National Maternity Hospital and I've met a gentleman heading in with a rocket hat. Have you just, as congratulations in order?
It is indeed, yeah. Baby was born on Saturday at 1:01.
Wow, and were you allowed to sit in with COVID?
I was, because when we were admitted straight to the delivery ward, so there was no need to go to one of the other wards beforehand, which meant I could go in and stay in for the whole process.
Wow, and were you squeamish or did you...
Not really. I probably strategically positioned myself away from the business end of the proceedings.
Was it your first? Or?
It was first,
oh
yeah.
Oh my God, congratulations.
And
was it natural or did it come
natural.
Out the sunroof?
No, natural. Natural, yeah.
That's, oh my God, I never managed that. That's awful.
All went well. And
did it nearly come on the way to the hospital?
No, we timed it well. So
no alarms and no surprises?
No, just thankfully, all timed.
Well, congratulations. Thanks and you're not going to go again anytime soon?
No, we won't be in a hurry to, but I wouldn't rule it out.
Great, and you're going to call the child Corona or COVID?
No, she has been named, but we'll stay away from those.
All right, thank you very much.
Ah, should God love us, a load of first-time daddies. They have no idea that their lives are over. Anyway, so thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you enjoyed it, tell your friends. If you didn't, shut your hole. And do please share, like, subscribe, follow, and do a screen grab and share it with people or whatever you have to do. Because that all helps me. Thank you very, very much. And next week I'll be doing Hole in the Head, because I actually found a couple of people who've got a hole in their head. So, which is great. So, till next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.